Welcome to the May Highlights Podcast from the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. I'm Josie Briggs, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal. Each month, we highlight a few papers in each issue. This month, I'm going to discuss two clinical papers that bring new insights into the relationship between kidney disease and inflammation. But before I get into the new findings, I want to back up a bit. There's now a large body of basic research in animal models showing the impact of inflammatory factors on chronic disease, fibrosis, and progression. And there are many clinical correlates. I think this work has led us to think of inflammation as a driver of progression. And that is important, but then it leads to the next question is, what is actually driving the inflammation? So the two papers I want to talk about today are both papers in human subjects and both papers that I think give us some insights into ways we may understand the drivers of inflammation in chronic kidney disease progression. First paper I want to talk about is about an interesting phenomenon called clonal hematopoiesis of indeterminate potential. The shortcut term for this is CHIP. CHIP has gotten a lot of attention in cardiology circles and rheumatologic diseases as a risk factor for disease. It's only recently started to be explored as a risk factor for kidney disease. The paper in our issue this month is entitled Association of Clonal Hematopoiesis of Indeterminate Potential with Worse Kidney Function and Anemia in Two Cohorts of Patients with Advanced Chronic Kidney Disease. The first author is Caitlin Vlaschert. The senior author is Matthew Langtree. Clonal hematopoiesis of indeterminate potential is a pre-malignant expansion of clonal leukocytes, and it's caused by acquired somatic mutations in stem or progenitor cells. It is detected by gene sequencing from circulating leukocytes. It's now established to occur in about 10% of the general population who are 65 years or older. And a sizable body of work has established that the presence of these mutated circulating leukocytes, activated leukocytes, is strongly associated with cardiovascular disease. The study we're publishing this month, the authors performed targeted genome sequencing of white cells in two prospective Canadian cohorts of patients with advanced CKD. They found these CHIP mutations in about 25% of the patients, one quarter. The patients with these mutations had substantially more rapid progression of kidney disease than those who did not, controlling for other variables. They had higher risk of end-stage kidney disease using the kidney failure risk equation. Incidentally, they also had more severe anemia. The anemia of advanced CKD, or EPO non-responsiveness, is another robust clinical correlate with inflammation. Now, these studies do not themselves establish causality between the CHIP mutations and the clinical correlates, but they do set forth an important hypothesis. More research, including studies in animal models and more studies people will be needed to understand the relationship between the actual CHIP mutations and the clonally activated kidney leukocytes and the kidney. Second paper I want to tell you about covers a more familiar topic to nephrologists. It deals with the TNF pathway, a well-established inflammatory correlate of CKD. High TNFR levels are known to be associated with CKD progression. TNFR, TNFR1 and 2, are circulating markers of activation of the pathway. These are membrane-bound receptors that are released when activated by binding of TNF. Title of the paper this month is Longitudinal TNFR and 1 and 2 and Kidney Outcomes, Results from ASK and VA Nephron. Its first author is Teresa Chen. Senior author is Morgan Grams on behalf of the CKD Biomarkers Consortium. These investigators take advantage of the data resources and long follow-up of patients from two major kidney trials. The studies are ASK, which enrolled about 1,000 African Americans with CKD attributed to hypertension, and the VA NEPHRON-D study that enrolled about 1,500 patients with CKD attributed to diabetes. About half the patients from each study could be included in this secondary study. Many of the patients in ASK were followed for up to 10 years and for 4 or more years in the VA NEPHRON-D study. What the authors found is that increases in TNFR levels in the circulation, the slope of change, the rate of rise, was an even stronger predictor of renal outcomes than the basal levels or the baseline levels of renal function. The authors suggest that longitudinal trajectories of TNFR levels may allow improved risk assessment. The differences were quite striking. For example, in the ASK patients, the patients in the tertile with the highest TNFR1 slopes were almost 4 times more likely to develop end-stage kidney failure. The data in this study, like many previous reports, remind us that CKD progression is highly variable. Some of the patients in this study sat with an eGFR of 45 mL per minute for years. Others, the progressors, lost GFR at a brisk rate, 3 to 5 ml per minute per year, or even faster. And the slope of the marker of the TNF pathway was a strong correlate of risk. The importance of both studies goes beyond risk prediction. The hope, not an unjustified one, I believe, is that we can develop interventions that will target and interrupt the damaging inflammatory processes. I don't need to tell you, our listeners, that our current treatments, RAS blockade and SGLT inhibition, as important as they are, don't address inflammation directly. So the work we are talking about, rising levels of TNFR, activated circulating clonal leukocytes, may be telling us about the places where we can hope for future progress on CKD progression. If this scientific work gels, CHIP-related inflammation might offer a novel therapeutic target, and TNFR slopes might help us know who to treat. So I thank you, our listeners, for your attention. I hope you enjoy looking at these two very high-quality papers in this month's issue of JASN. Thank you for your attention.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.